is going to be a familiar story to you, but maybe we'll see it in a little different light. We'll start with verse 1 and go through verse 9 this morning. Well, 10, actually. I'm not going to read the scripture to you because we're just going to follow it this morning, so no need to just read it and then go back over it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. When I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I learned that song. Did you? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, basically what I knew about Zacchaeus was that he is a wee little man and that he was a tax collector and he was rich. But some time ago, looking at these verses, it kind of dawned on me that even though the scripture does say that he was of small stature, but I think he was bigger than we've been giving him credit for. So I just want us to look at this story this morning and maybe grow Zacchaeus up right before our eyes. The scripture says that Jesus entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When people heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho, it was a parade atmosphere. People lined the streets wanting to see Jesus because his fame had spread. And he had healed the sick and raised the dead, and now he was coming to Jericho. So they lined the streets of Jericho, and Zacchaeus wanted to see this man who was famous as well. But the time he got down there, and because he was short, some lady in a big hat was standing in front of him, so he couldn't see what was going on. And therefore, he climbed up in a sycamore tree to get a vantage point so he could see Jesus. But what happened was, it was Jesus passed by that tree where Zacchaeus was, that Jesus saw Zacchaeus. In fact, he looked up into that tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house." And the Bible says in verse 6, "So Zacchaeus made haste and came down." Now, do you know what it means to make haste? Well, thanks for asking. I was born and raised in a little town in Ohio, about 250 people, and in the backyard of the Dunlap house was a couple of apple trees, and they were good trees, and the fruit of those trees were well. But across the street from our house, there was one old fella, and he had one apple tree, and I can remember vividly that his tree produced the world's greatest apples. The difference between his apples and apples in our yard was that his apples were forbidden. You know what forbidden fruit will do. That's what got us all in the trouble that we're in now. And so he was certain that he was put on this earth to keep me from eating his apples. And I was just as sure that I was on earth to see to it that he had abundant life. So I was definitely going to get his apples. And he was trying to keep me out. I worked that down to an art. I'd go around behind his house and go through a wooded lot, and I'd climb up in his tree way in the top where the branches and the leaves were full, and he couldn't see me, and I'd eat his apples. But you know, the Bible says your sins will find you out. I'd drop apple cores on the ground or something. I don't think I was ever in his tree that he didn't know I was there. And I can still hear, and that's been a while ago now since I was young, but I can still hear his screen door open and shut and hear him holler, "Dunlap, get out of my tree." Now, what I did was make haste. And when you make haste, you don't think first. You don't think about, now who's watching me? You know, am I going to be caught on camera and find myself on one of these TV shows one of these days? You don't even think, now what's the safest route I could take to get out of this tree? I could break my neck. It's a wonder I didn't. But none of those things pass your mind. The only thing, when he would yell, Dunlap, get out of that tree, the only thing that went through my mind was he was yelling, get, and I was getting, and that was the end of that. Well, you see, now that's what happened here. Everybody in Jericho was there. And the crowd's not any different then than they were now, because you'll see there, if you read down a verse, when Jesus and Zacchaeus started at Zacchaeus' house, the crowd did have something to say. They said, look at there, there's Jesus going to have lunch with a sinner. But you see, I'm telling you that Zacchaeus never once considered who was watching. He didn't let the crowd get in the way. Only thing he knew was that Jesus had called him, and he was responding. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste. And he was making haste. I'm going to tell you now, Zacchaeus was big enough to come when Jesus called him. Well, if you also see here that Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house with you. And I don't know how far it was from Zacchaeus, from that sycamore tree to Zacchaeus' house. I've been to Jericho, but they didn't show me that distance. But they just began to walk toward Zacchaeus' house. And as Jesus and Zacchaeus were walking side by side toward Zacchaeus' house, the scripture says here that Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord. And what Zacchaeus did here was begin to confess his sin. Now, if you think it's easy to confess your sin, I'll just sit down here and let you go first. It's not easy to admit we need a Savior. It's not easy to admit we're sinners. And all Zacchaeus was just walking side by side with Jesus. He just met him. But Zacchaeus was thinking, now, if this is the Savior, if this is the Messiah that I'm keeping step with, then he said, now, Lord, I want you to know, you heard those folks say, you were going to have lunch with a sinner. That's the truth. You know, I'm a tax collector, and I don't know if you know how that works or not, but when you're a tax collector, you got to get a certain percentage for the Roman government. Whatever else you get out of people, you get to keep. I got a lot of money, but it's ill-gotten gain. I've cheated people to get it. I'm sorry about that. And if you're the Savior, I need for you to forgive me of that. And I'm willing, Lord, if you'll make it right, I'm willing to give them back their money. I'm willing to pay interest. I'm willing to give half of all I have to the poor. And he just, on the way to the house. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees one time, he said, you know, I didn't come for well folks. I came for sick folks. You know, if you won't admit you have a need for him, he can't do anything for you. And Zacchaeus is in. Now, in that same little town, Bowersville, Ohio, I told you the apple tree was across the street from my house. A catty corner from my house was the Methodist Church. That's where I grew up, in the Methodist Church. There's a church about like this, about this many people. I was there every Sunday until I graduated from high school, and my parents didn't make me go. And I knew everything anyway, so I just quit going to church. They got a new pastor at the church, and my parents loved him and bragged on him. He'd been there 6 months or so, and I decided one Sunday morning I'd just get out of bed and to bless that man with my attendance, and I showed up at church that morning. I don't have a clue what he said or what he preached about. I know I got just inside the door, and I sat way in the back there, just as far away as you could get from everything. I know that when he finished preaching and the acolyte went out and he had to say the benediction, that he said the benediction on the way back there, I guess, because I did close my eyes. And when he said amen, he was already at the back door of the church. And so was I. I was the first one there to shake his hand and leave. And I shook his hand, and I started to tell him who it was. And he said, "Oh, I know who you are. I've been to your parents' house. I've seen your picture. I know your name." But he said, "There is something I would like to ask you." He said, "I want to ask you, are you a Christian?" And I said, "Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a member right here of this church." And he said, "I've been here 6 months. I've looked over the roll, not that many people. I know you're a member. But, son, that's not what I ask. I ask you if you're right with the Lord." And I said, "Do you know I've been baptized 3 times? And I have, but that's a whole different. And he said that. He said, "Yeah, that's interesting. And sometime I want to talk to you about all them baptisms and why. But right now, that's not the question before the house. The question is, are you a Christian?" Well, I'd looked the ceiling over pretty good, and it looked like there wasn't no leaks and stuff. I checked it out, and I checked the floor out, and it looked pretty sound, and, you know, and everything looked all right. There's about 80 people behind us now, and they was ready to go on home and have lunch, and he had a lock on my hand, and I looked in his eye, and I could tell there wasn't no giving up in him anywhere. So finally I said, "No, I don't reckon that I am." And you know, there wasn't anybody surprised. I knew the answer. That's why I was putting it off as long as I could with all those excuses. He had it figured out. Wasn't one of them 80 people that went, "We thought he was good." No, you know. See, everybody knew it, but it was hard for me to admit that. And when I admitted that, the preacher said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray for you, son, until you tell me that you are." And I'm sure he did, because it wasn't long I could tell him that. But you know what I'm saying to you is, you see, that preacher coerced me. He had me by the hand in front of 80 people, and he wasn't going to let go until I told the truth. You see, that didn't happen here. I know Jesus well enough to know that on the way to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus never brought up Zacchaeus' sins. Zacchaeus brought it up. He said, "I don't want to be in the presence of the Savior and pretend to be something I'm not." So he said, "Lord, I'll just tell you. I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. If you are the Messiah, I need the Messiah." Zacchaeus was big enough to come when Jesus called him. He was big enough to confess his sins without being coerced by anybody. Nobody even saying, "Just as I am," without one sin. You know, he just, without one plea, he just confessed. And then you see that he did take Jesus home with him. Now, those were the days before cell phones. He didn't call ahead and let folks know that he was coming. How'd you like to get a phone call that said, "I'm on my way to lunch, and I'm bringing a guest, and by the way, it's the Messiah"? He took Jesus home with him without any preparation. See, he couldn't say, "Hide the magazines, you know, clean the ashtrays, you know. Jesus is coming to our house." No, he took him just like he was. You know, took him home with him. You know, there's some of us that don't mind rubbing elbows around Jesus at the church, but taking him home now, you know, that's a whole nother proposition altogether. When I went into ministry, there was an old preacher that gave me a lot of advice. And one of the advice he said, "Son, if you ever see a man stand to give his testimony, if his wife and children are present, you look at them. If they hang their head, ain't no need to listen to what he's got to say." You know what he was saying, don't you? Home's where you live now. That's where you are before you brush your teeth and comb your hair and put your makeup on. It's ugly. You know that. That's who you really are. That's where you are when the blinds are pulled, you know. Your family really knows who you are. And a home, you know, that'll tell on you. See, Zacchaeus didn't clean up anything. Just said, "Okay, Lord, what you see is what you're going to get." But that's all right, and I don't want to hide anything from you anyway. I've already confessed my sins. And if you don't like what I read and where I spend my time, tell me. You know, I'll change it. So he is big enough to do that. Big enough to take Jesus home with him. You know, the biggest need in America right now today is Jesus in the home. You know, this nation is just a little over 200 years old. And in just 200 years, we went from a president who could not tell a lie to a government that never tells the truth. Do you know that? But you know, it's true that as the home goes, so goes the government. It's not just the government's in decline. It's Jesus is not in the home. That's in decline. We need to take Jesus home with him. He needs to be Lord of all. We don't need to be embarrassed to let him see who we are and how we live. We just need to let him change things. Zacchaeus was big enough to do that. Listen to him. He was big enough when in front of all of Jericho, when Jesus called him, he made haste and came. When they started walking down the street, he is a big enough man to say, Lord, I don't want to be somebody I'm not. I'm a sinner. If you're the Savior, I need you. And then he was big enough to take Jesus home with him. And then he was big enough to live like he'd been with Jesus. He said, Lord, if you'll forgive me now, I'll make restitution. We don't hear much about restitution anymore. I grew up on hearing preachers preach about restitution. When I was coming up, they always told me if you get right with God, then you got to get right with man. And that's what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus got right with God, and then he had to get right with man. And he went to people that he'd cheated and had to admit that. Made a change in his life. Now, the Bible don't say this. I made this part up, so it may be true, it may not be true, but here's the way I think it went. I think Zacchaeus had regular routes that he worked on his tax collecting job. And I believe that Zacchaeus would knock on the door, and a little old lady would come to the door and say, Mr. Zacchaeus, I know it's tax day, but I don't have the money. My husband's in bed, sick, and not able to work. And we just don't have the money. And Zacchaeus said, I'm not Dear Abby. Don't tell me sob stories. That's not what I'm here for. I'm a tax collector. Best I can do for you is I'll work this side of the street, and then I'll come back up the other side of the street. And when I get across the street in a couple hours, I'll come back over here, and you better have the money, period. Or you'd hear a mother say to her children at the breakfast table, now, children, you know that today Zacchaeus is going to be in our neighborhood, and he don't like kids. Either stay in the house or in the backyard, but please don't bother Zacchaeus. And then Jesus came to Jericho, went to lunch at Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus knocked on the door, and that little old lady came to the door and said, Mr. Zacchaeus, I know it's tax collecting day, but he's still in the bed sick, and I don't have the money. Zacchaeus said, I got good news for you. I've been going over my record book, and I've realized I've taken more from y'all than I should over the years, and I'm not here to collect this morning. I'm here to give you money. Not only the money I took that I shouldn't have took, but interest on that money. And by the way, if you don't mind, I'll come in and pray for your husband. I can't heal his body, but I know a man who can. And then Zacchaeus knocked on the door, and a mother came to the door, and there Zacchaeus had a kid in each hand, holding about a hand. She said, oh, no. I told him this morning this was your day. I said, please stay in the house or stay in the backyard. Don't bother Mr. Zacchaeus. Well, he said, well, they were bothering me, but probably not for the reason you thought. He said, One, I'm not collecting today, but I've went over my records, and I think I've cheated y'all, and I'm going to give you money today and interest on the money that I've taken. But the kids did bother me some, because I noticed they're out here playing without shoes on. It's a little too cool for that. And I don't want you to buy those kids' shoes out of the money I'm giving you today, but I'd like to buy your children some shoes. Now, I want to tell you, there's a buzz around Jericho. Folks were saying, what in the world is happening to Zacchaeus? You know, he started giving money back with interest. He's praying for people and buying shoes for children. What in the world has happened to Zacchaeus? And they said, well, all I know is I asked Zacchaeus that question. I said, what's happened to you? And he said, well, you remember when Jesus came through town a few weeks ago? He said, I ain't been the same since. His lifestyle began to glorify the Savior. I went years ago when I was young like Brian, and I was I took a youth group to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the baseball stadium where the Reds played. They've had two or three since then, but it's how old I am. But back then, we went to Crosley Field, and there they'd stayed to hold, I don't know how many thousand people, but a bunch, 30,000 or 40,000 people. And it was a tri-state. If you know Cincinnati, it's right by Kentucky and Indiana, so it's a tri-state youth rally, so it was full of people. And at the pitcher's mound, they had built a stage, but we were sitting in center field up high where you had to have binoculars to see what was going on. Now, you could hear well, but you couldn't see. That's before big screens, you know. So, but there was one guy on the platform that night that you didn't need binoculars to see him. He was big. And finally, it got time for him to speak, and he just kind of unfolded when he got up out of that chair. And when he got up there, he told us his name. I don't know what it was. It had a lot of Z's and Q's in it. It was Czechoslovakian or some name, and it was big. But he got up there, and he told us his name, and he said, I'm a three-time college All-American football player. When I was in high school, I was an All-American high school player. 4 years. The only four-year high school All-American football player ever, as far as I know, still is. He said, when I was in high school, I was 6'6" and weighed 295 pounds. And he said, every school that had a football team tried to recruit me. I was the big man on campus, not only size, but in popularity and fame. And he said, now I'm 6'8" and weigh 320. But I was big then. And he said, I remember when I was a senior in high school and all these people were trying to get me to go to their college and I was famous and every kid in the school followed me around, little groupies, you know, the girls all wanted to date me and the boys all wanted to be my friend. He said, I remember it was during lunchtime and we were having a lunch break and we're standing out there outside after we'd eaten and there's all these people crowded around me and they were laughing if I said something, even if it wasn't funny, just because I said it. And he said, I saw a little old boy coming down, a proverbial 90-pound weakling, freshman boy, coming down, no bigger than the Gates boys here, coming down by himself. And I said, now I'm going to have some fun at his expense. And he said, I went over and I just picked that boy up by the nape of the neck and held my hand out, and his feet was way off the ground. I just held him there. And then I noticed he had a little bulge in his pocket. And I said, son, give me one of them camels. And he said in a little old squeaky voice, said, these aren't camels. I don't smoke. I said, I should have known that. You ain't man enough to smoke. And I let loose, and his feet hit the floor, and everybody laughed. I turned to go away, and then that little squeaky voice said, wait a minute. This is not cigarettes. This is my New Testament. Here. You carry it. He said, now I know what it's like to be blindsided by a 300-pound football player. But ain't nobody hit me like that little fella hit me. He said, there I was in front of all those people. Thought I was somebody. I might be able to bench press 350 pounds. But I ain't man enough to pick that little book up. Care for me. And then he said, now, young people, here's what I'm here to tell you tonight. I'm not ashamed any longer of the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm man enough now to take my Bible with me wherever I go. Well, he was 6'8" and weighed 320. Zacchaeus was 4'8", weighed 120. Let's cut out the same stuff, though. See, Zacchaeus was big enough to come when Jesus called him. Zacchaeus was big enough to confess he needed a Savior. Zacchaeus took Jesus home with him. And then Zacchaeus' life began to glorify Jesus. I might change that song. Zacchaeus used to be a wee little man, but he's grown up a bunch. Father, we thank you for Zacchaeus' life. Not a lot in the scripture about him, but that's enough. What a testimony. He is big enough. Whatever he weighed and however tall he was big enough. When he heard the voice of Jesus call him, he came running. He is big enough to not to be, when he walked with Jesus, he didn't want to pretend to be something he wasn't. Big enough to be honest and say, Lord, you said you came for the sick. I'm sick. Forgive me of my sins. He is big enough not to make excuses about taking Jesus home with him. He just took him with him. Let Jesus be Lord of his house. And then he was big enough to change his lifestyle till people noticed he'd been with Jesus. Father, this morning is how big are we? Are we big enough to come if you speak to us this morning and not worry about what anybody thinks or what time it is? We just hear you and come. Are we able to say this morning, I need a Savior? Are we big enough this morning to take you home with us? Let you rearrange things at our house? And are you big enough, are we big enough, Lord, for in the next few days, people around Columbus to start saying, what's happened to them? Different. New creatures, and you'll get the glory. Father, speak to us now, and may our response be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Kenny's going to lead.